The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. I'm Lydia L. Corey. And tonight I'm delighted to be joined by Lucy Hasler, who is from Springboard Learning. And she's going to talk to us about revision, GCSE, A-level, approaching a tutor, how to decide on one, really, really valuable information. Hi, Lucy. Thanks a million for joining us on The Parents Show.
Oh, hi, Lydia. Thanks for having me. It's absolutely fine.
It's a pleasure. Right. First of all, tell us about you and tell us about the work you do.
Okay, well, I am a secondary school teacher. I work in a secondary school in St Albans, and I've been teaching now for 20 years this year, which makes me feel old. But I only work in the school for 2 days a week, and then I write the science teacher training documents for the National Institute of Teaching. Alongside that, I also train for the Science Hub, which is part of the training programmes that runs nationally, but we work within between Aylesbury and kind of Bishop Stortford, and we are training teachers on how to best provide for everybody in our classrooms. And alongside that, I run my own little company. I mean, it feels funny to say that because it's always just been me, but I run Springboard Learning, which is a tutoring provider, and I tutor myself. And I tutor science, all sciences at GCSEs, all exam boards, and biology A level. But I also, through school, we train sixth formers to mentor lower year groups just to support them with their learning. And when they go through that program, they are trained. And as they're trained, I ask the students that are really effective educators to come on board with me, and then I provide them with training materials, and like we have a monthly meetup, like a little team building activity, but also sharing best practice. So now I have a team of 17 tutors, and we provide tutoring for a range of subjects now: English, maths and science predominantly, but also Spanish and geography, and depending on their skills. Essentially, they are trained by me. They all have DBSs, which we can come back to later, but and are really passionate about education. So that's kind of my little bundle, if you like.
Wow, that is so, so impressive. I think you get bored easily, Lucy, by the sounds of that. You're spinning so many plates, but it's so lovely to see the passion that comes across in the way you talk about what you do. I think you like what you do.
I think that's the thing. I really enjoy helping people. I find it, you know, because I have such a wealth of experience and I've seen a lot of children learning, I do tend to, regardless of the child, like it really doesn't matter whether they have a diagnosis or they're getting a certain grade. When you speak to a parent, you can almost pick out where the barrier might be to the level of progress they want to make, or what's hindering them from making a start, or whatever it is, the commitment or the motivation. And just speaking to that parent reassures them that actually that's really normal and it should be okay, and giving them hints. And I love it when the children just go, oh, that's how it's worked. So I do genuinely love it, which is why I do it, I think.
Yeah, oh, it sounds brilliant, and you've already given lots of taster tips in what you've said already today, Lucy. So, picking a tutor, you mentioned DBS checks. What would be your guidance for parents if you're thinking, you know what, I think we've hit a wall a bit, or I think we need an extra hand? What should they do?
I think that's a really important question, because parents don't always know where to start, and there are millions of tutors out there. So I went through a phase where I was tutoring at 6:30 a.m. and 9 p.m. at night on a Sunday, you know, and all of these things, but because I didn't want to say no. But I've kind of stepped back and realized that there are amazing tutors everywhere. Really important things to look for is that they do have an enhanced DBS check, because that really reiterates that your child is safe. And I also buy into a program, which means the tutors that work for Springboard, with Springboard, because actually they are independent tutors, they have a daily check as well. So just to make sure that everything is okay. But personal recommendations parents often go by, I would speak to the tutors, speak to them and just ask them questions. How do you know about education? How many people have you tutored? What techniques do you apply? Lots of parents seem to want one-to-one in person, face-to-face. And I think it's difficult because I am a bit old school and I like working face-to-face. But when I'm working online, I actually don't think that there's any lost value in that. Whereas if you know that your child doesn't focus, perhaps an online group isn't a great idea, or even perhaps an in-person group might not be a good idea. It's really important that you look for the person that's right for you. I would also, and this is a very personal gripe, but I think it's how I run my business, I would stay away from like long-term retainers. No, if you have to sign up for 10 weeks, that's a lot of commitment for you and the child. And perhaps in the first week, actually something's not quite right. You do get a feel as a human. We don't always kind of bump along nicely together. And so I would say explore your local area. Facebook's a great place to start. I don't advertise anywhere else, but I would genuinely ask the questions. Do you have a DBS check? How long have you been tutoring for? What do you do generally in a session? Will you set homework? Do they have to do the homework? Anything, because one of the parents I spoke to recently said, I don't want my child to be overwhelmed. I just want them to be supported. And I said, well, it's against tutor code to do the homework, but they can support for 30 minutes, perhaps. They could train into the technique for doing the homework and then support in that program, if that makes sense. So you can direct what you need, but those are the important questions.
That makes so much sense, Lucy. And, you know, you're right. As a parent, it is overwhelming. Now, there are so many out there. And the process that you've just described bears no resemblance to the process I engaged when I was looking for a tutor for my son. It was more panic, overwhelmed, not sure where to start. So that's really, really helpful. And you're right, even when you're talking about it, it makes sense because my son learns differently to my daughter. The same tutor wouldn't necessarily work for both, you know. So thank you for saying that and for kind of, you know, making me think a little bit deeper about that.
I would imagine as well, like I would put a caveat in there that I tutor lots of my students very differently. So we might be doing the same topic, but for one student doing electrolysis, we'll do it verbally, we'll only write words, and we'll go straight to exam papers. And, you know, there'll be challenge. I'll be really throwing out there some difficult kind of A-level questions. And for another student working at the same grade, GCSE grade, we would have the Play-Doh out. We'd be visualizing it. We'd be kind of drawing a poster, and then we would be suggesting verbally those exam questions before they put any pen to paper, because that's kind of where they're. So I do think a good tutor can be really adaptable. But I also had this horror story of a parent who said, well, we've been paying £55 an hour for this tutor that comes and she brings a textbook and they work out of the textbook. So there's not much conversation. And I would say there's no harm in using textbooks. Fine. But if that happens every week for more than 3 weeks, then I would argue that that's not effective learning.
Thank you. That makes sense too. You know, yeah, good to bear in mind. And what would you say if we get down to the exams, to GCSE and A level, because this is the big nut that everybody wants to crack. Just because you've got such amazing experience, I'd love to ask you, what broadly would you advise parents when it comes to revision and tutoring for GCSE and for A level? I know that's a huge question.
No, but... no. No, I understand. I do get that. So I think if I can answer those as two separate questions, so how my thoughts on revision for GCSE and A-level, and then perhaps separately how parents and the students can prepare. I think in terms of GCSE and A-level, again, it depends on your child, but the more little and often that can happen, the more effective it will be. However, most schools start their GCSEs in year nine, and there are very few and very, very highly committed year nine students, even if they are the best students in the world. Unless it's set as a homework and a deadline and there'll be a sanction, they probably wouldn't just sit down and do X, Y, and Z. But when you get to year 11, for example, and immediately from year 12, little often recapping. And I'm sure we'll talk about resources later, but I can kind of go through the resources that are available to do that. So little and often committing facts to memory, because they have to retain a lot of information. But also, when they're told at GCSE from school that they should do past papers, and actually past papers are amazing as a thinking tool. So what is effective learning is if you actually have to think about the content you're doing. So what you tend to find is students are like, oh, I've been using past papers for revision, but what they've been doing is they've been looking at the past paper, then they've been looking at the answers to see if that's what they think or whether they kind of understand it. But actually, that's not really effective. That's recognition. That's not thinking. That's not processing. That's not going to help you apply that to a different situation. So in terms of revision for GCSEs and A-levels, that commitment to a little bit very, very often, and following that actual deeper thinking, which doesn't have to be for a long time. I think that's another mistake that students think. They have to sit in their bedroom for days and days and days on end and go to bed late and never see their friends. And I think actually that kind of leads me on to the next bit, like how they should prepare. So in terms of preparing for their revision or preparing for their GCSEs, they should plan in the fun. They should plan in to have whichever, you know, if they're doing sports, great. If they're doing seeing their friends and certain things, great. They should plan that time in. That's really important. But keeping a regular routine, a regular bedtime and a regular wake-up time is really important. And planning out what they need to learn. So really accessing the specifications for each of their, they'll be available on any school's website. So parents can find those. So whichever school they go to, they might be doing EdExcel for maths and AQA or OCR for science, and everything will be on there that they need to learn. And they can kind of tick off what they've learned in school and then kind of go through that so that they know where the questions are going to be drawn from. Once they've learned those facts, they can then try a question that's like a deeper thinking. So really planning their time out and leaving no stone unturned is really important. But as a parent, you might have to manage that, because actually it doesn't always come from the students. They're a little bit overwhelmed and they're not often, you know, equipped with that executive function. So as a parent, if you know which exam board they're doing, and whether you work digitally or with paper, you access all of their exam specifications and you kind of say, right, okay, let's pop this into these areas, just kind of talking it through is really helpful. Well, I was just going to move on straight from, so I kind of looked at what they should be doing, which is that regular input to memorize things that they need to know that they're supposed to be able to access and recall regularly, then the deeper thinking, and then the planning as to where that might come from, where the parents can help. However, I think my next step would be, you know, how they prepare their environment and what parents can do following a period of 40 minutes of learning that they've all revised and that they've just done. So there is a bit of a caveat there that some students learn in different ways. So some students always say, I need to have music on, or I kind of learn in this way. And absolutely, we all do things differently. Okay, I can't retain anything if it's just told to me verbally. Other students can only retain things that are, you know, so it really does depend. But the more ways in which you can go through that content, the better. And really, it might be that they want to have, you know, white noise in the background, like a radio or something, but they shouldn't be controlling it from their phone. And genuinely, it's important that they are not distracted, because you lose your train of thought, you lose your thinking, whether you're attaching it to a schema in your brain, like a distraction is not a good thing. So if it is this kind of white noise that they want in the background and it's a TV, pop something in front of it, like a flip chart or something. But a radio would be so much better, or a podcast would be so much better, but not controlling it, not something you manage, not something that can be interrupted. It should be uninterrupted. But that's not to say that learning can't happen when you've got like a podcast on and you're walking up and down the stairs. Like if you need to be moving, that's fine. And then the follow-up conversation from the parents can be, what did you just learn? Because then they have to recall it. And you might say, you might be looking at the specification and going, yeah, okay, yeah, you did need to know that. You did need to know that. You did need to know that. Oh, right, you've done some great learning. You know, just a recap of what they've learned is really important. So I suppose parents being in charge of removing those distractions, I think is a really important thing, because not everybody has the means to have a designated desk area or a room in the house where they can revise, but you do have the means to be in control of what your child can or can't do.
I think that's excellent. And I think a lot of parents would be out there kind of going, see, I told you, your phone is just a distraction. Get it out of the room. Don't have it with you. And so thanks, Lucy, for giving us that validation, because, you know, my instinct is, you know, phones are not going to help. I know, because from my own experience with phones distracting me, you know, it doesn't make sense. But I love what you're saying. So recall is really important. And I know this is a silly thing to say, but, you know, parents become intimidated and distanced from learning now because it's so different to what we did. A lot of it's online. So we could easily imagine that the same rules don't apply and that recall is old fashioned and you're not really, you know, you don't really need to write things three times or make sure you're learning it off by heart, but you do.
I read a lot about education and I swing in roundabouts, and it depends who you read and which person is stronger on Twitter or whatever, but there is room for all of it. Recently, I'm much more, and whilst the exams are still on paper, I do genuinely believe in the hand-brain connection. I do genuinely believe that, you know, if for us in science, lots of questions might be an explain question. And in order to force your brain into thinking of how to say why, I recommend starting with the word because. So the minute you see explain, if your hand goes to write because, it sets you up in a really good way. Whereas if you're just explaining it the way you talk, you often miss out the key terminology because you can give a bit of context to it. Whereas when you're writing it, you need to get rid of all of that context and just use the key terminology. So I think there is a real place for writing those exam answers. But there is, to be a devil's advocate, there's a real place for online resources as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I meant more the action of recall, like you, yeah. Like learning off by heart. And you put it really nicely. You said, you know, reading it is recognition. It's not learning. And yeah. And you do need to use whatever technique to embed the knowledge, I'd imagine.
Indeed. And I have actually made, with myself and with my tutors, and they're not finished yet, but the resources for the IGCSE are already on kind of my website, but I have got other resources that I haven't yet formatted. But I make these little recall sheets, and I do say to parents, they are quite dull, but as a parent, a revision guide I actually think is a little bit terrifying, because to formulate a question to give the right key term for a subject you haven't done since you were 15 or 16 is actually quite a hard thing to do. So what I've done is I've taken the specification and I've made questions for the entire specification that have kind of a single word or a short-ish answer. And I've tried to do that for all exam boards. So we're up to date most of AQA. We've got a lot of EdExcel and we're working on OCR, but it's a less common exam board. So it's coming last, unfortunately. So I'm sorry if your child is an OCR B or A school. But, so these are great for parents because what they give you is they say they've been learning about plant structures and you go, great, that's topic six. I'm going to get the topic six sheet. I'm going to hold the questions. You see if you can answer them. And if they can't do it, you can kind of let them read it. And then the next day you can, let's see if you can remember what those things were, you know, so it gives you, and I say to all the students as well, your parents are desperate to help you. So allow them to do this with you. They want a connection. They feel very disconnected from you. You're grumpy, you're tired, you're, you know, overwhelmed and they can't make you happy. But that positivity, the success of doing it better the next day, it's a small nugget of happiness, but it is, you can see progress, they can see progress. So whilst those sheets are very boring and they're very similar to say a CGP flashcard, however, I personally think they don't cover all of the content. So these, so they're not exciting, but they do the job, if that makes sense.
They do the job. Yes, it totally makes sense. So recall, deeper thinking, planning, getting the environment right, no phones or no distractions, whatever the format, the distraction takes. That's gold. That's gold.
Yeah. And I do think revising with your friends can be really good if it's in a common area in the house. So the parent can say, oh, that's great. You know, I might say, oh, Lydia, it's great that you've been learning for half an hour, but I think it's time for Lucy to go home because you've gone off topic. Can you explain to me what you've just been doing? And actually them explaining to each other is great. I had an A-level student who, with the girl across the road, made a whole song about respiration and she was essentially failing most of her A-levels biology. And she came out with a C, which for her was just the most incredible, incredible result. And she was so proud of herself. And it was all that paired learning along with like the constant chipping away. So just having someone with you isn't necessarily a distraction until it does become one.
Great. Yeah, that makes sense. We'll take a quick break now on The Parents Show on Mix 92.6.
The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Thanks for staying with us on The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Can I just, a quick question in between, you said little and often, and then you mentioned 40 minutes. Is that the kind of amount of time you're thinking?
So, yes, there's a bit of research that suggests that actually the best way to learn is to recap for 15 minutes or something. And that can be you recalling on a mini whiteboard, or it can be you reading through the page, it can be you doing that the day before, but 15 minutes of kind of going over something, and then 20 minutes of exam technique, exam environment, really putting yourself under that stress, and then marking your work and giving yourself feedback. So one of the things that students really lack the confidence for doing is they think they have to get everything right the first time. And actually, the process of getting it wrong, and they teach you that in primary school, don't they? The marvelous mistakes and everything. But the process of getting it wrong is really important. And popping it back into, so like highlighting that part of the specification or highlighting that area that you got wrong as something you need to revisit is really important. So, yeah, we would recommend that they have 15 minutes of review, 20 minutes of exam question or exam style learning, definitely exam conditions, marking that themselves. So that might take them another 10 minutes. and then adding, you know, using that feedback in some useful way, and then take a break where they actually move around and change their scenario.
That's really useful. That's really, really useful. I have to say, I wouldn't have thought of revision being structured in that way. That's brilliant.
I also think when you, like, we're talking about it now because of the time of the year that we're having this conversation, but when they get to kind of May's too late, but April time, actually they'll find that they don't need the review. They can do a full paper for an hour and mark that. So we can extend that time because actually they want to be able to sit for the entire time that they're going to have to sit for the exam. And again, that's different. That works for science and maths, but it doesn't necessarily work for English because they don't want to, they might plan an essay rather than write the whole essay, but they might also write essays, but that might be a school-based activity. So there are caveats, but at this point in the year, when they're revising for mocks that are probably coming up or have just happened, I'd imagine some are in January and some are in November, that's the kind of revision timetable they need.
Brilliant. Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of parents taking notes, or if you're listening to this in a podcast, they'll be going, rewind, say that again, and listening to what you're saying, Lucy, because it's incredibly constructive, like really, really constructive and helpful. And would you say the same, thing applies to GCSE and A-level?
Yes, because essentially everything breaks down into small topics. So whether you're doing mechanics in physics or whether you're doing, I don't know, the Stone Age, I'm not sure what they learn in history. So but whatever they're doing, you can break it down into mini topics, and therefore it allows you to have that formula and build kind of a schema of it. And you want to plan it in your brain. And for some students with difficulties of, I kind of say, right, well, when you're doing history, revise it in this room. And when you're doing biology, revise it in this room. And when you're doing, and for very few, that makes a massive difference because they're there doing their history paper and they're sitting in that room and they're trying to remember what they were doing. And all of these things, all of these little tips, if you did contact a tutor and you were like, look, I can't, have you just got any tips for me? They would be able to help you with those kind of things. And it is difficult because it's not necessarily a one size fits all. But on the whole, well, and we won't get talking about the GCSEs and their levels in general, but on the whole, that format works well and allows success, if that makes sense.
It certainly does. It certainly does. So, Lucy, how important is tech in revision, technology, and what would you recommend in relation to tech? And I'm going to throw in resources in there as well. Two huge things. What's your best advice?
Well, I think that the benefit of technology is that every single past paper question is available to all the students at all times. And different websites are available for those, but many do them all together. So there's one called Physics and Maths Tutor that I used to use a lot, but now they advertise a lot on there, so it frustrates me. But they have past papers for, you name it, economics, geography, history, English, all Englishes, all exam boards. And with that, there's also, especially for science, but I'm not really sure about the other ones, summary notes for each, for the specifications, and online flashcards and online mind maps. So it's quite a nice place to go. There's a very similar one that's just for science and maths, I think, which is called Cognito. And it does essentially they're exactly the same papers, but they are without adverts. And so some of them you can do online as quizzes, or you can print them. So there's kind of Cognito Edu, and there's Cognito Resources. They're two different kind of strands of the website. They're my favorite go-tos. They're also Save My Exams. Those other two are free, completely free, and they can access them whenever without a login. But Save My Exams is another one that's also very useful, but it's a paid subscription. But once you've paid the subscription for the year, you can access all exam boards, everything in every subject. So I think gaining useful information and exam questions, I think tech really serves for that. I don't think students really even get textbooks at school anymore. So the physical paper doesn't really happen. In terms of quizzing tools, there's also a lot of apps and websites. So Seneca Learning does some learning. However, I actually think that our young people can life hack Seneca a little bit too well. So they feel like they've been learning for a long time, but I don't know how deep that learning is. So it is a format, but I wouldn't say it's the format. And there's a spin-off of that called Tassamai, which has a program within it where it actually picks the subjects that you're getting wrong and brings them back more often. So it's essentially like doing flashcards the lazy way. But again, there's a monthly subscription for it, and it's got its place, but it's not for everybody. So I think there are, if your child goes swimming trains or football trains 3 times a week and it's a 40-minute drive, an app is a great idea. They can use their app and they can be doing revision, effective revision, on Cognito, on Tassamai, whatever, and that's really useful. If your child is at home a lot, conversations are more useful with parents, with, well, whoever's doing, like supporting their learning. It could be a brother or a sister, or, you know, whoever's at home. And just trying to work through it together, determine kind of motivation. I think the problem for a disengaged or a demotivated child is actually tech isn't going to engage them. Tech has too many distractions. So it does have its place, the useful websites, etc. But at the end of the day, for now, unless they type their exams, they need to be writing their stuff down on paper. So by the end of February, for example, they should be doing the questions on paper.
That's completely logical. It makes sense. Thanks, Lucy. So they're fantastic tech resources. Any other resources that you'd recommend out there? We've all got the revision guides with the kind of summarized. If I had them when I was doing my equivalent of the A levels and GCSEs, it would have been fantastic. I mean, do you think they're all pretty much the same? Do they differ? Do you like those ready-made flashcards? What do you think?
There are so many options for ready-made flashcards. I actually think the best ones are on Physics and Maths Tutor. I've just remembered actually an online tech resource that I might follow up with you at some point, but there's these programs. There's Quizlet, where you can make your own flashcards online. And there's one called Anki, where you can do similarly. But a student of mine recently showed me one where it turns your notes into flashcards, like the use of AI. So they've made their notes, they've done it all, it's from the specification, and then they turn them into flashcards so they can recall. I can't for the life of me recall. So there's probably a parent shouting at the radio now, kind of reminding you, but I will get that to you. So, but the pre-made flashcards, that they're trying to be transportable, but I feel they miss a lot of the content. So I feel like they're good, but I just feel like they don't cover everything. So you can feel like you've learned nonstop and memorized all of those flashcards, but it won't be enough. I don't think anything in isolation is enough, is the end of the kind of the, and it's really tricky to say, because the CGP revision guides, for example, for IGCSE chemistry is brilliant, but for IGCSE biology isn't. As in, it's not bad, but it doesn't follow the specification in the same way. So I personally really like the Let's revision guides and the Oxford revision guides. There's one that, as a publishing company, is a really good one. And then I think it's just the rest is all online, so nothing particularly.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thanks a million, Lucy. Gosh, well, I've really picked your brains. I like so much valuable information that you've shared with us. Thank you. Thank you so much. So let's bring it back to the parents again. So, I mean, we're going to have many different types of parents out there. There'll be the ones who want to buy the resources, hand it over and leave it to the kids and think it's their job to get themselves through the exams. And there'll be the parents who, like you say, you described them beautifully, who actually want to be part of the process, are happy to be part of the process. But generally, any tips that you've missed out in this, in the last 40 minutes, that you'd like to share with parents that you haven't already mentioned, whether they're the completely engaged or less engaged kind of parent?
I think I just want to point out that I do understand that as a parent, you can be really time poor. And so whilst you might love to sit with them and go through the process, it's just not something that you can do. Maybe there's multiple children at different age groups, or maybe it's just that you're working 24/7, or, you know, whatever, the looking after relatives, whatever the reason, you might not be able to be there. But I think it doesn't have to be supporting them 100%, you know, just providing some joy, like their favorite snack, or making sure that you kind of say, right, what have you done today? Because you can end up being a real nag. And me too. But like, you can end up being real nag. Whereas when it's like, I provided you, we've done this, let's maybe see what you've got through. And one little review, one little nugget of information that makes a difference is really helpful. So if they can explain back anything, it's like, great. Even if it's, what did you find most useful today? Oh, well, nothing. Okay, so you're not finding the revision guides useful. You're not finding those useful. And what do you think might help you? And try and engage your child. And if that's not working, then perhaps it is time to engage another family member or a tutor or something like that, because you want your job to be being their parent, not their educator. So looking after them with, you know, their clean bedding that they can put on themselves, they're grown up, but, you know, all the things that they might need just to feel safe, and that's probably the best thing.
Brilliant. And you've catered to the whole spectrum of parenting there, from, and there is no judgment. I mean, like, I would see myself probably like on the kind of middle to lower engaged parent, because, I mean, the thing is, I didn't get 3A stars. So I see myself as having a certain role to play, and each to their own. Every parent has to do what they have the capacity and time and the bandwidth to do, and bring value. I think even just reminding kids in a non-naggy way, because when you said nag, I thought, oh, Lucy, you mean me.
and myself.
And a gentle nudge in the direction of spending a bit of time studying.
Yeah. But also, I see myself in this. I've just bought my son some workbooks, and they cost a fortune. And actually, I should have gone onto Vinted or Facebook and said, does anyone have any of these? Because we're probably not going to get through all 10. I was obviously excited on a Saturday morning. But, but I think, you know, pulling out to parents, you know, other parents, for what they're doing, or if they've got anything their child's not using, just sharing the load can be quite good.
Yeah. And sharing things that work as well. Like there's a great place for that as well. And of course, social media is a great place to kind of share tips as well. But Lucy, you've been such a huge help. Like as a mom of a son he's starting his year 11 GCSEs, you've given me so much food for thought. And you've also, mentioning that year 9 students can probably take a bit of a breather, is also, my daughter will be eternally grateful to you for getting her off the hook for that one. But thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and expertise and giving us great tips.
No, you're absolutely welcome. And I think I should really say that whilst I can't always respond all the time, because there's days when I'm in contact with students non-stop from 7 a.m. till 9 p.m. So there's no, if someone does want some advice, I can't always spend hours on the phone, but I can probably point you in the direction of the people that need it. So don't be afraid to reach out to tutors and not feel like you have to onboard with them, but equally be aware that they do that job because they love helping people. So they will help you, but it might be at the expense of their own children or something like that. So I think, but I think if there is anything that people want to know, I'm more than happy to take an email or.
Brilliant. And you're extremely busy, but can we share contact detail? Facebook, you mentioned, is that the best place? Springboard Learning on Facebook, is that the best place to get you?
To be honest, I'm not very good with, there's a problem with my Facebook Messenger. So I do pop things on there, but I wouldn't use it as necessarily a communication. It's probably best on my website, which is www.springboardlearning.co.uk. There are some contact details and a little contact section and a little mailing list. So it says waiting list, but if you pop in there, every time something comes up, someone becomes free, or I will pop things in there. When I say someone comes free, a new tutor or something, then I'll pop it in there. So there are means of communications, but email's probably the best.
That's brilliant. Lucy, thanks so much for joining us on the Parents Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
No, you too, Lydia. Thank you so much.
The Parents Show on Mix 92.6, sponsored by Raiden Solicitors, award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.